on the state of Connecticut, case number 25814. So, Mr. Scott, you reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes.
So we'll hear from you for 3 minutes, and then we'll hear from your friend on the other side, and then we'll hear back again from you on rebuttal. Is that clear?
Thank you. My name is John Sekun. I'm the appellant in this matter. I have to act quickly, so I'm just going to read. There are two other appeals that I brought before this court. One was when I false arrest on 7 false arrests by municipalities in the state of Connecticut. On that false arrest, I disagreed with your decision citing the facts. I have appealed it to, filed a motion for certiorari to the Supreme Court based on the fact that your decision is inconsistent with other districts, federal districts, and your decision is inconsistent with the appellate and state Supreme Court of the state of Connecticut. In another case, which is 243218, it is the same facts as this appeal. I did not take a motion for cert for that decision. Why? Because the decision goes to facts that occurred before July 15, 2022 and after July 15, 2022. Case number 3218 dealt with the fruits of the poison tree. This case deals with the poison tree. I didn't see it beneficial to argue the constitutional fruits of the poison tree. This is a direct violation of Title II of the ADA. This is a prima facie violation of Title II of the ADA. An accommodation was granted because I had a heart condition, and the order was disobeyed. Again, the order was not followed. It wasn't a question the order was followed. It was knowingly disobeyed. Judge Nugent recused herself on the motion for the ADA accommodation. The presiding judge, Diana, ruled that the accommodation was to be granted to half-day trials in the morning. Judge Nugent then disobeyed the order. Judge Diana was the presiding judge, and therefore it was an order to a subordinate judge. She disobeyed it openly. That is, that goes, in this case, I will note that I'm the one who filed for divorce. I was the plaintiff. However, at trial, I was designated the defendant. How that happened goes to the shenanigans of the family court in the state of Connecticut. How I ended up being the defendant here, I still can't figure out. Okay?
But you must understand that there are any number of things that Connecticut may do which are wrong or which may be wrong, but which we do not have authority over as federal courts, and that our jurisdiction is limited. So there may be wrongs that occur to you in Connecticut, but that doesn't mean that we can do anything about it.
Well, I'm not asking you to do anything about it. I'm asking you to enforce Title II of the ADA, which the Congress gives the federal court sole authority. Title II of the ADA, the Congress has determined that the states cannot be trusted in its determination. So what happened here is the plaintiff was allowed 21 full days of trial, and then it was turned over to me, where I was allowed 3 days. I was, a question was, is that I was entitled to half-day sessions. Why? I had a heart attack. The judge, Judge Nguyen, that's how you, it's Nugent, but it's pronounced Nguyen, scheduled full-day trials in violation of the order. I filed grievance. The grievance was dismissed. These are federal issues, not state issues. This is due process. This has nothing to do with the family abstention doctrine. This is due process. Was I allowed a fair trial? And then when I exercised the accommodation, trial was terminated. This is a due process issue. Was I allowed a fair hearing? The plaintiff had 21 days. I had 3 half-day sessions, and I was thrown out because I exercised an ADA because, as the record shows, and it's in your appendix, I had a heart attack. The EKG is in your appendix.
So, Mr. Sekhan, we've got, I think, the gist of your argument and understand the argument. We'll hear from Ms. Nunley, and then we'll hear again from you. Is that fair?
Okay.
Thank you.
I was answering his question, so.
No, I appreciate that very much.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Connecticut Assistant Solicitor General Alma Rose Nunley, on behalf of the state of Connecticut and individual defendants. As Mr. Sekhan has noted, this case is one of many that he has brought in both state and federal court, arising from a lengthy and contentious state custody proceeding. Here, he primarily challenges several orders issued during the last months of the custody trial and the final custody judgment pursuant to the American with Disabilities Act, Section 1983, and Connecticut law. The district court properly dismissed this case because Mr. Sekhan cannot engage in an endless series of cases challenging the same custody judge trial and the same custody judgment in the hopes that eventually one will succeed. Collateral estoppel and res judicata bar further consideration of both the custody trial and the custody judgment claims. He raised the same claims in his direct appeal of the custody judgment, and they were decided on the merits by the Connecticut Appellate Court when it affirmed the custody judgment. He also challenged the same custody judgment in a separate federal case, which he's just noted.
The district judge dismissed with prejudice, but some of accounts were dropped because there was no jurisdiction. So it's not correct to have those be dismissed with prejudice. Those would have to be dismissed without prejudice if there was no jurisdiction.
We don't challenge that, Your Honor, but we do state that they were correctly dismissed. And here, this was the third complaint in this case. It was actually dismissed previously. And Mr. Sekhan,
to the extent that there was a dismissal because of res judicata, that can be with prejudice. But to the extent it's for lack of jurisdiction, it can't be with prejudice.
And I just note that in terms of the res judicata claim, Your Honor, that it doesn't matter that he raised a different legal theory in that case because he's challenging the same custody judgment under the same set of facts.
Does it apply to all three of the judges?
For the prior case, Your Honor?
Yeah.
Here, for purposes of this case, since he does not bring claims in this case against Judge Diana and Judge Nastri, who were in the prior case, we're only asserting it for Judge Win O'Dowd and for the state of Connecticut itself.
Those are the only ones.
For here, yes. Yeah. There's other defendants, but they were not defendants in that one.
Judge Carroll?
Judge Carroll was not in the other case because Judge Carroll was not a judge over the trial. He was the chief court administrator up until 2021, I believe.
It's a different role. Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor.
So you would agree, just to pick up on Judge Calabresi's question, that we need to modify it so that it's clear it's without prejudice?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
You would agree that we need to modify this so that it's without prejudice? Because currently it's with prejudice.
Yes, it is. And
yes, you would agree.
Sorry, Your Honor, I was thinking through that one a moment before I answered. To the extent that there's the grounds that were dismissed for jurisdictional grounds only, it would be without prejudice. But to the extent that grounds also could, so it gets a little complicated with the 11th Amendment.
But you say to the extent some of these were decided on res judicata, that must be with prejudice.
Yes, Your Honor, I apologize. I had not thought through that before I came here, and I can certainly I'm not going to disagree.
Okay.
I will note that the custody judgment claim suggests counts 5, 6, and 9 through 13, which challenge the custody judgment itself, are also barred by the domestic relations abstention doctrine because he is seeking a new trial for the custody judgment, and he forfeited any challenge to that ground for dismissal by failing to raise it in his opening brief to this court, which was also the grounds for this court affirming the appeal for 24-3218. And even if the custody trial and the custody judgment claims weren't precluded on those grounds, they're precluded on numerous other grounds, including the 11th Amendment, judicial immunity, and then certain other individual grounds for reasons we raise in our belief are also precluded. Of course, Your Honor, unless Your Honors have additional questions, we'll rely on our brief. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Second.
Your Honor, I'm pro se. And so therefore, you can throw me out of this court anytime you want. You can find any reason to do so, and there's not much I can do about it. I was not provided a fair trial. I asked for a new trial. I asked for an injunctive. I asked to go back and be able to present my case at that trial. If you want to throw it on, and that means there's nothing I can do about it, but you would have to answer to your maker when you, at some point in time. Counts 1 to 4 do not imbibe the abstention doctrine. They go directly to the ADA violation. It was not claimed in 3218, and it was not claimed, the ADA claim was not claimed in the state trial, so it's not re judicata. You don't bring an ADA Title II claim against the state, bring it to state court. The judges here have circled the wagons. That's what they've done. They don't want to admit that. Imagine the press that would come out if the Hartford Courant says judge found to violate American with Disabilities Act in open court. Not good press. They've circled the wagons here completely. Count 5, 6, and 19 does not go to the custody decision. It goes to due process. Now, she's claiming now I didn't ask for a new trial. Excuse me? What else was I doing in that brief for 50 pages? Yes, I'm sitting there saying, put us back to the point in time when the violation occurred. That's the poison tree. I'm not asking for a new trial. I haven't seen my son in 4 years. She argued in her brief, well, all she has to do is file a motion for modification. Denied 8 times. Why? Because I have to be treated for narcissistic personality disorder. It doesn't matter if I had 2 neuropsychologists say I don't have it. I have to be treated for disease I don't have. Okay, and therefore I saw a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and a therapist in order to meet the orders of the court. Oh, they are not qualified to treat narcissistic personality disorder. This is a wagons being, you know, circled. So what am I asking for here in summary? And by the way, there is animus in this case, and I think I'm going to ask for a little extra time to say that. There was a family circus blog that threatened the judges of the family court. This case became a subject of that blog. I had nothing to do with that blog, but I was tainted by it because Judge Wynn was a subject of that blog. There was an investigation, there were arrests, there were a trial, and people are in prison because that blog threatened judges of the family court. I can't help it if that blog had this case as one of its primary subjects. I had nothing to do with that.
I'm going to give you 30 more seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. What am I seeking here? Okay. I'm seeking for a federal jury trial as the ADA violation. The state doesn't want that because it's prima facie. Any jury who hears this says, you violated his rights. He had a heart attack. What am I seeking? A declaratory judgment that the state violated the ADA. This is prima facie. You have the evidence in front of you. You have the accommodation, you have the order, and you have the judge ignored the order. And when I exercised the accommodation, my trial was terminated. And again, going back to the due process issue, I have to be placed in a position where the harm occurred. I'm asking you to go back to that point in time when the harm occurred so that I'm allowed to have my due process preserved at some point in time.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Sekhan. Appreciate it. We're going to reserve decision, and all that means is that we'll decide after today, after oral argument, and you will have, both sides will have a written decision from us at some point. And